Good.
So you got him on the job already?
I was going to see you a couple weekends ago.
Boy and I were off here, so he was all excited, and we got distracted.
That's all right. Well, I'm back on this weekend, so.
Are you?
Yeah, well, Sunday, Monday, so.
We got a new shovel.
No, that's the shovel that was in the fire station.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
How you been?
Hi, how you been?
Good, good. Say hi to Dave.
I will. Come here, let's go.
One more time.
Yes.
Moving on to agenda item number 5, public comments.
Are there any public comments?
Yes, Chair Rivera, we have John Carter.
Good evening, folks. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'll be brief. Do I should give my name and address again?
We know your name.
Okay. In the past week, I was up on the levee walking my dog, and there was a private contractor up there, I assume was hired by the county, and he was doing some work on the flat gates. I asked him what he was doing. He says he was correcting a vandalism problem. And I don't know if you folks know about that or what kind of work was done. Tom might know something about it, but I would like to know a little more about it. They weren't forthcoming with information relative to what they were doing. And I realize that's really not part of this meeting, but just in the effort to continue to communicate observations and potential issues, I thought I would bring that up in the voice today.
Were you able to tell Mr. Carter whether or not it was physical damage or graffiti?
No, they told me it was the correct vandalism problem.
We have had a problem with somebody taking pieces of asphalt and blocking the gates. And so people are quite frequently going through and pulling that. It's not working, but they're putting rocks between the gate, you know, pulling it really hard. They're putting a piece of cement there. And so most likely they were out there cleaning those out once again.
But they were there to do some welding. That was my question. I don't know what they did. So just might be interesting to you folks for, you know, future potential issues associated with the flat gates, because they get a lot of press. Know what's going on. When you find out, I'd like to know as well.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
On this issue.
Board member comments?
Oh, Matt?
Yes, go ahead, Director Angelo.
You guys can take the volume up a little bit, okay?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Can you turn the volume up or have it stay a little closer to the mic?
We're going to work on that, Director. Manager Giesel's looking at that.
Okay,
thank you. Director Lucy, are you seeing Director comments?
No.
Seriously?
I have none.
Okay, I have none. We'll move on to reports. I have 7A reported Sheriff's South Station Command.
Before we get into that, I have a comment request.
On this?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Julie Tapper. I have 7A.
I think this is the first time we've had a public comment.
Actually hoping to hear the report before I spoke, but I'll just lay the question out there. I understand that a serious crime was committed against your district. I was listening to your board meeting of January 25th, and some computer hacking had gone on. That is, I believe, a federal offense to hack a government computer, and I wonder if sheriff had been investigating it and the arrests made. Again, it's very serious. And then, since I'm here and you haven't adopted your minutes yet, I think your minutes should reflect that said crime took place.
Thank you, Julie. Is there any other public comment on this?
No,
I'm
not
sure. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, Jim Taylor, Commander of the Sheriff's South Station here in Oceano. As to the computer hacking, I don't have any information to give back to you as to the investigation or where we are with that at this time. I did want to point out to the board of residents that in the last few nights we have had a number of thefts from unlocked vehicles. The first one was in the 1900 block of Ocean Street. Second one was in the 1600 block of 17th Street. In both cases, the vehicles were left unlocked. In one case, the suspect stole change and credit cards, and in the second case, the suspect stole a checkbook. And where I'm going with all of this is that we've had several cases in the South County area in general in the last month, identity theft, credit card fraud, and forged checks. In at least two of these cases, checks and credit card statements were stolen from the mail. So somebody intercepted the mail, either when somebody put bills out the night before or intercepted the mail when it was delivered before the folks came home. And in one case, a suspect hacked the computer account, went to the victim's online credit card account, changed their address information, and then ordered two additional cards to the new address. They were able to charge up $2,000 before I had the credit card come here. The victim caught the activity. In a second case, we had a person who went and looked at an account they hadn't used in some time. It was a $900 charge from Cabela's, and the items had been shipped to New Jersey. We want to remind everybody in the community, one, obviously lock your vehicles at night. Try to keep the lights on outside your residence where your vehicles are parked. That aids the deputies when they're on patrol to kind of keep an eye on things. And also, consider either using a P.O. box to get your mail or at least upgrading your mailbox to some type of a locking type that restricts access, because some of these guys are sophisticated and they're what we call spoofing IP addresses. They're hacking into computer files. But a lot of them are just low-tech thieves. They go through your mail or they go through your trash to try and find credit card statements, things of those nature. So if anyone needs any additional information or they want any crime prevention tips in this area, if they come and see us at the Sheriff's South Station, we'll be happy to provide them with some information. If you happen to be the victim of identity theft, by all means, report it to your local law enforcement agency. If it's the Sheriff's Office, come in and make a report. We will give you a packet of information on things that you need to do. There are certain things we will do. There are certain things you have to do for yourself. One of them is to contact the three credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and report it immediately to their fraud department so that whatever charges are racked up, you're not held accountable for. Some of the other areas I wanted to talk about this evening, we currently have six deputy sheriff trainees that will be nearing the end of their training phase, and they will be going out to the three patrol stations. We have two deputy sheriffs who are currently in the academy at Ventura County Sheriff's Office. They will be graduating next month and then entering training. Sheriff Parkinson and the Board of Supervisors have worked to secure additional funding, and we've now begun a testing phase to fill the remaining vacancies that have been left open because of the budget concerns we've had in the last few years. The final note I wanted to tell the Board is that although the state budget is still kind of in flux because the actual dollar amounts of income are not known, the governor did place the state grants that are received by the sheriff's office under the guaranteed funding umbrella. So our state grants for our rural ag deputies are secured for the coming year. The grants that fund our SAFE team, which is the sexual assault felony enforcement team, these are the people that keep track of the sexual offenders, the 290 registrants, and make sure these people are current on their registrations, make sure they're not hanging around the schools. That team will be intact for the coming year. And also our CalMet detectives, that's a multi-agency methamphetamine enforcement team, and they're earmarked, or I should say they're tasked with working with CWS and the DA's office on drug endangered children. So those programs that have done a lot of good and are very important to us and to the community are going to be secured and funded for the coming year. We're available for any questions.
Yes, I would add that a paper shredder is cheap insurance.
Absolutely, absolutely. That or if you got a lot of paper, it's one of those big bins with the truck that shows up and right. Takes it away every week.
Thank you.
And thank you for the good news that you're
going to be funded. So I think by agreement, we're moving to item 10A, discussion of request and recommendation with regard to potential formation of a fire protection district or a levy for a fire suppression benefit assessment by the Five Cities Fire Authority. Just by way of background, I think this is on the agenda for the February 24th meeting at the Five Cities Fire Authority, and each of the participating entities, the OCSD, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach, are each have it to discuss these particular issues. So without further ado,
we have public comment.
Is there public comment?
Yes, there's public comment. Julie Tucker, please.
All right, Julie.
Can I hear the presentation first? And then that's
I'm advised by council that we're going to have a public comment before not presentation.
You're the chair.
Yes,
your discretion.
Is there any other public comment then? Or you want to go now to me? Okay.
Again, if that's protocol, I mean, highly unusual. Without hearing the presentation, I am a bit off my game, but I would say from my experience, again, my name is Julie Tacker. I do live in Los Sosos. I am entering my eighth year on our emergency services committee up there. Probably the best thing Los Sosos has ever done is sign a contract with Cal Fire. And not knowing all that's going to be said here, I am at a disadvantage. But I would suggest that you take a parallel track, look at what Cal Fire can offer your three communities, ask that be brought to all three communities in a cost-saving effort, maybe instead of having to raise taxes, which is what it appears this item is referencing. So, again, a plug for Cal Fire. They are under budget every year for us and very professional. We are happy with our response times. In Los Sosos, we are one of the most revered as far as our ability to have paramedics on each call. So just something else to consider before you go out and have to ask your customers. And again, because I'm at a disadvantage, I haven't heard your presentation. I understand from what limited information I've been able to read, it appears that finances are what is at the base of this. And until your district has its financial house in order, I don't know that there's comfort with all the parties. So maybe that's something that's driving this conversation. Again, I don't know.
Is this time?
Yeah.
Okay. Give
you
one. Number 10. Oh, sorry.
Karen White, Calcium. With due respect to people from out of town's view of us, I've lived here all my life, and I think that unification of our fire departments is the most important thing that's happened to us in about the last 5 years. I know what it was like before when the three fire departments were separate, and I think we can just completely put them together forever. And it's not going to be like we're raising taxes, it's like we're moving taxes to another place. Because the three Roy Randy, Grover Beach, and Oceana are already paying for the fire services. Thank you.
Thank you.
No more. And as to this, I think that when Chief Keith makes a presentation, there, part of the presentation is our existing funding and how to procure more funding. That Director Keith is all for the Chief Keith.
Good evening, President Guerrero, honorary board members, Ricky Heath, Five Cities Fire Authority. I'm here this evening to talk to you a little bit about the pursuit of possibly doing a fire district or going after a benefit assessment. Background, staff has been asked to explore possibilities. The formation of a fire protection district or the installation of a benefit assessment. Both these mechanisms are revenue generators which are necessary for fire protection, for provisions of fire protection. Consistent with the board's direction, staff has employed the service of consultants in two areas. One is trained consultants that did a study to determine whether we have any kind of support out in the community for a benefit assessment. And then also we hired Michael Colantuono, who gave us all the legal expertise related to the possibility of the fire district for benefit assessment. The two processes are different and require varied levels of participation from the original jurisdictions. At the January 20th meeting, the authority board directed staff to bring this item to the original jurisdictions for discussion and recommendation. After the individual jurisdictions have the opportunity to review and discuss these items, they will return back to the authority board for further action. Formation of the Fire Protection District, tried to break it down into two steps. First would be either a petition for 25% support from the people within our communities, or the three agencies would go to LAFCO with an application. City of Rio Grande, Grove Beach, and Oceano through the potential through the County Board of Supervisors would go to LAFCO and apply for possibility of the fire district. After adoption of the resolution of the application to LAFCO, by the jurisdictions, the matter goes to LAFCO for board approval. Depending on the process, may result in a simplified protest hearing or an election of the residents affected by the district. If the district is to be funded by a special tax, both the formation of the district and the special tax may be included in a single ballot. A two-thirds vote would be required for the special tax, and if that special tax is in question, so would the district, because they want to make sure the district's sustainable. If a special tax is proposed, a simple majority vote can determine the fruition of that district. The adoption of a fire suppression benefit assessment, this can be authorized as a joint power agreement as a function that can be undertaken by the authority board. It appears it cannot fund paramedic services or related equipment to paramedics or other types of emergency type services outside of fire suppression. Portions will be identified as required between the amount of the assessment and the direct benefit derived by each property for these services. Funding a detailed analysis needs to be performed, and a written engineer's report needs to be obtained to support the amount of the proposed assessment. Meaning, we would have an engineer do a study, take a look at each parcel, determine what level of fire protection is needed, what kind of hazards are involved for that parcel, the size of the parcel. All those things would be taken into account to determine the amount of the fee for that particular parcel. So everything would be on a scale. Resolution ordering an assessment engineer to prepare a written engineer's report will be needed. Once the report is completed, it needs to be presented to the board and considered at a notice public hearing, during which another public hearing would be set to consider the proposed assessment needs to be noticed and scheduled. Proposition 218 notice and protest procedures would be applicable to this process, and the assessment can be adopted if the ballots submitted before or at the public hearing are not outweighed in opposition. If a weighed majority favors the benefit assessment, then it may be imposed. The pros and cons for the fire protection district: the property tax would go to the district from each jurisdiction. Disadvantage is that each city or the OCSD, Oceana Community Service District, gives up some control because it transfers the responsibility to the district, which would also have its own staff. Funding comes from the pool of property taxes, which is a consequence to the city general fund by decreasing taxes coming to the cities or the OCSD. An advantage is that financial responsibility is more defined, with a set amount coming from the cities and the OCSD. If the district needed more money, it would have to go and petition a special district requires LAPCO involvement, including establishing a set budget. Special district would need to be approved by LAPCO and filed by the cities. Any question on that part of it? I know it's a lot of information.
Well, we've kind of read it already.
Okay.
Well, you're getting to the point of the gentleman. The question I have is about the loss of control. I think that's one of the concerns for each of the jurisdictions. There would still be a board comprised of the individual jurisdictions.
Yes, I believe the board would be designed to meet the requirements of the three member agencies. And on that board, we have representatives such as yourself or another person from your district board as part of the fire board.
And are you saying that you would collect the funds from our tax base, and if they were not enough, that the district would have to make up the difference?
I'm not certain exactly how that would work. I know that if the district was to come in place, from my readings, what I understand is that each jurisdiction would set an amount, and that would be definite for the duration of the district. And then from there, the fire department would have to do other things to
make it. Okay. And currently, is there a sunset on what our obligation is to the JPA?
I don't have an answer to that question.
He is kind of a senior here now. If I remember correctly, I was at the first meeting when the consulting firm was hired, and then we had it in the retail center just to discuss the JPA before the joints even came together. The consultants from the north, they had done I think it was the Folsom project or something like that.
Citygate,
yes, exactly. Thank you. So in that time, if I remember correctly, Oceana being smaller than the other two SDs that were involved, we had a time limit as to how long we would participate in the JPA and if it was a good fit for Oceana, because we were a district and they were cities. And correct me if I'm wrong, you know, and I have to look to the other people who have worked in that department, but I think it was 5 years. And at that time, the board had to decide whether we were the only ones who had an option of pulling out or staying, is my understanding. But I'm not saying that my memory is always perfect either. But I do think that there is that clause in there. Secondly, I would ask what started the conversation in becoming a special district versus a JPA? Because obviously you went out and got two consultants looking in two different areas, so something triggered going on to a special district versus operating under a JPA. So can you speak to that a little bit for me?
What I know is they have been working on the formation of the JPA for approximately 8 years.
Correct.
And during that period, first it was the Fire Oversight Committee, which evolved into the JPA and the Fire Board. And during those years, they always talked about the possibility of forming a district or something of that nature. That's what I know.
Okay. So I would ask you to take that question back to the leadership.
Okay.
And because it's not fair to put you up here to answer these questions. I think it's only fair to ask the question, what triggered going from a JPA to a district? It's costly. Is there a reason why we need to do that? Do we need to create another governmental entity? Do we really need to do that? And to have you answer those questions, I don't think that's fair by your leadership to do that. It should have been the leadership here you know, somebody saying, yeah, we want to go from a JPA to a district for A, B, and C reasons. You know, but they said, Ricky, go to Oceana, go do it, buddy.
Well, not to say.
Another question for the leadership, too, is 73% of our calls are medically based, you know, broken, from broken heart, arm to, you know, whatever. About 73% are medically based. Why is it that the leadership didn't take that consulting money and say, hey, would it be to our advantage to invest in an EMT system? Because 73% of your calls are going out to medical anyway. I mean, the county must be thrilled with your performance, you know, I mean, because they're the ones who are getting the money here for the work that you're doing. So have there been any exploring about, like, maybe trying to maybe get an EMT, that way we get the money, it stays home. Or a paramedic, or, you know, people are looking at me like, I don't know the lingo, and I don't know the lingo, but, you know, the bottom line is that you're pulling out big old fire trucks because somebody got their arm caught between the water and the dryer, you know, I mean.
Do you want to address?
Well, first off, I can't say that we truly want to go after a district. These are just options, and there were two options, either pursuing a district or a benefit assessment. And basically, we're just here to give information and receive information back to the board. So,
one of Vice President Lucy's concerns, though, is about the fire suppression assessment. I think she touches on that. And the concern there that I have is what she says is that we spend a lot more of our man hours attending to medical aids, car accidents, and such. And I really think it's important, and I defer to you guys, and that's why we have strong leadership, but I defer to the leadership of the fire department to tell us that we need paramedic training, EMT training for our staff. And one of the things, and I think that money is important, there's an article on the front page of the newspaper today in the local section. Money is important, there's an article on the front page of the local section of the newspaper by Cynthia Lambert addressing issues like bringing on some of the firefighters full time. Oceano here is staffed by two guys, staffed by a firefighter and a captain. You'd have to get an engineer as a second firefighter. But these are all things that I think are part of the bigger plans, and we're making these baby steps. I said before, one of my concerns, though, is if we do an assessment, if there's a parcel tax, it does need to be supported by two-thirds of the voters, but I also think it needs to be enough. If we do it, enough money has to be raised to support the needs of the fire department so that after all of that money presumably or hopefully comes in, there's enough to pay the bills. And I think that's an important consideration.
Well, I think with the benefit assessment, although it talks about it's not intended for anything else other than fire suppression, had an individual who shared some really good information that expressed that, you know, it could be a really gray area if we utilize that funding to staff up an engine, and that engine is available for response to a structural fire, and there's a traffic accident which involves a medical aid, we're not going to tell that engine not to go to that medical aid. It's still going to go to that incident. So it creates a real gray area of how that is perceived. I think the most important thing to look at here is, you know, we utilize the reserve program to the best of our abilities. We treat our reserves as if they are professional firefighters. We hold them to the highest standard as a professional firefighter. They work 24-hour shifts, and they are constantly covering those shifts 365 days a year. They only make anywhere from $10 to $12 an hour. And they also have to go out and find other means of work in order to survive. But because they're loved in fire service, they stick it out for us. And on top of that, we do our best to meet NFPA 1710 and 1720, which talks about the standard of response to a single-family residential structure fire where you need 15 people there within the first 8 minutes. And CAL FIRE does an excellent job providing us automatic aid to those type of incidents, but on a daily basis, we only have 8 people on staff for fire suppression. And CAL FIRE provides us automatic aid, but it's, you know, it's by the skin of our teeth that we even need to get near that 15 personnel at 8 minutes. And then we have, you know, CAL OSHA that has the requirements of, you know, 2 in and 2 out, meaning anytime 2 people go into a structure fire to fight fire, it's by law that it's required of us to have 2 people standing out, ready to rescue those 2 people that are in that dangerous environment. And so those are some of the things that we're looking at to try and enhance fire protection. And by being able to do that, we also improve our ability to perform rescues properly and also put the fire out effectively.
Can I ask a question? Vicki, since the JPA would got together and stuff, before that, our response time was 3 minutes in the Oceano area. I remember that being thrown around a lot, and I do remember my insurance agent talking to me about that. You know, and now you're saying it's 8 minutes for a 15-person response. Is that what that is?
That's the national standard.
Okay. Yes. So, realistically, if somebody...
First arriving unit has full effective force. The first arriving unit may have gotten there in 3 minutes, but the full effective force is the 15 firefighters in 8 minutes. The national standard is the first arriving unit in 4 minutes.
Since before the JPA, we had 3 minutes, right? That we could at least get a truck on site, maybe it volunteers or not. Now, what are we at? Since we're not staffed the same patterns here, what are we at now?
We're still holding that 3 minutes. In fact,
how?
We, from the response to the station.
So,
but that's
is your main hub, will they come from this station, or do they come from AG or Grover?
If this station is not committed to another incident, then we would respond from either Grover Beach or Royal Grande, or we move up engines. For example, CAL FIRE will bring their engine out of 22s down here to cover behind this station when we go out on this, Pismal Dunes area, or Oceano Dunes area.
So you're saying that every time you go out on the dunes to do the state a favor, we go uncovered?
No, CAL FIRE will come in and cover behind
CAL FIRE us. Up on the mesa?
Yes.
And they can get off that mesa in 3 minutes and down to my house?
Well, I don't know if they get out there, but that's exactly what the chief was referring to, is that it could be the 3 minutes arrival first in engine
right.
for the entire workforce
Understood.
To get there and assemble.
Right, okay.
So you're saying that if we go to a district or any of these, either of these choices, that we would have that 3 minute along with the 8 minute national standard?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm basically just saying that we're looking at, and I don't know if the district is the correct thing for us or a benefit assessment would be. A benefit assessment is a little bit different than a district where, you're not quite locked in, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what I would like to ask them, what would put us at that standard?
Well, to give you an example, I'll try to explain it a little easier for you. We're currently going after a grant, a SAFER grant, for staffing the Oceano Station. Right now we have one full-time captain and one reserve firefighter on duty 24/7 here at the station. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're going after a SAFER grant to hire 3 additional personnel, which will be engineers, the guys that drive and pump the engine, and we'll staff them here. And that will increase our daily staffing. And in order for us, and I haven't shared this with the chief yet, because I haven't had the opportunity. But in order for us to be successful with this grant application, what we've decided also is to ask for 3 additional firefighters. And those 3 firefighters would be staffed over at the Rio Grande Station, and we would maintain our reserve program. And so at the Rio Grande Station, we would have 4 people on the truck, because truck work is heavy work. You know, usually you have one way, it's heavy work. And so 4 person on the truck, 3 person at Grover Station, 3 person here in Oceano, and then a chief officer, that along with 1 engine from Cal Fire or Pismo Beach and a breathing support unit from Avila Beach, that brings us to that 15 personnel within the first 8 minutes.
So this is contingent on mutual aid?
Automatic aid.
And then this is, this follows something you said earlier, that even if we do, or you said before, and I think it's important, is even if we do a special assessment, there's still other ways to keep trying to procure funding for the district and to try to meet the needs of the community with fire protection and medical aid. One of my thoughts is, I think, I don't know if our board is in a position to take a position tonight. We do have another meeting on the 22nd before the 24th, which is the next fire protection meeting, so I'm glad we're talking about this. And on the 23rd, Chief Arana is going to be sworn in. And those of you who don't know him, he's here in the audience. He's going to be the new chief of the FC's Fire Authority. And I think he should meet the commander and some of the people here. He hasn't already met. There's a lot of issues here, and we don't have to take both. We could do one or the other. We could try to get an idea of which way the wind is blowing with Grover Beach and Rio Grande too, and see what they're thinking of some of these situations.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a couple comments.
Go ahead, sir.
Back in the day, I rode on the tailboard, as a volunteer in Oceano, and I've always seen Oceano as giving best service, in around it. I mean, we kept up with the Rio Grande Grover. We've always had nice equipment. And prior to this JPA, I don't know how many men we had out in this trailer, but we bought that trailer for our guys to be here. To serve this community, and I understand that now that we've come together and we're doing a bigger network, fire suppression and medical related responses, that those costs are going up, and I can see that you guys are feeling a pinch, to try and get better services, but I would just like to remind you, the cost of creating a specialist, I don't even know if you guys put the money in last year's budget for going out and hiring these consultants to try to figure this out for you. There's some cost to the election, and cost for prepping for the election. And if you're blowing that kind of money, it's right. Maybe you guys should start putting what you really need together, like the EMT program, or you got to stop running those big expensive trucks down the road, and get some cost savings, and if you need 3 more guys, maybe come to the JPA and, let them present a pass-through bill or a assessment. And, if that's what this community needs, we've always stepped up to the plate and get it. It's kind of weary that, we're getting minimal service here. This JPA is supposed to be more collaborative, because we always do fine by ourselves.
I do see that the information that you presented does show that you do have support of people. It has been presented in a survey.
Through Terrain Consulting.
Right, and we do have public support on this.
Yes.
Yes, and there's a what is it, the difference, $93 and $66.
$66, yes.
Yes, and, but there is some support in that parameter.
Yes, sir.
And by the property owners or people that you did survey. Yes.
Maybe you could speak a little bit to that. Can you tell me a little bit about the area that was surveyed? Or I see the tools that they used. It's pretty straightforward.
Right.
But do you have a sample of what was sent out, or anything like that?
I don't have a sample with me. I wish I would have brought something.
Okay. Well, next time we get together, would you bring some samples so we could actually look? Was it done in English and Spanish?
Are you talking about what was said over the telephone survey?
Yeah.
You know what? I'd have to look for something that I'd have to talk to Corinne and see if they'd give me a sample of that. Because I don't know exactly what was said.
And Chief, if you wanted to get that to me, I can get it to the board for the next meeting.
I'll contact Corinne and see if they'll be willing to send me a copy of that sample.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mary, I thought you were talking about the report.
No, I have that here.
Okay.
One of the things that was that struck me is that people, even in this time of people wanting to lower taxes, not wanting to raise taxes, they were still in support of it because it was local control for something that is important. And I think that there was a lot of people that were in support of it that otherwise might not. I think it crossed quite a long. So, one of my concerns, though, is Chief Arana starts the 23rd.
The 14th.
14th, oh, excuse me.
The swearing in is the 23rd.
Oh, okay, he starts next week, and so it'll be, he's going to be the guy that's got the two of you together. You guys are going to put this thing, get the wheels to the road, and so it's going to be too much on Chief Aronis' plate to also ask him to do this, walk into a new organization, figure out where the bones are buried, and try to create another new organization out of it. We need your direction on that, whether or not now's the time to think about this.
I think we should take our time.
Are there any other questions? And I will say, to follow Rick's comment, though, if we do end up with another board, I think Oceana would not appreciate if there was a five-person board and we only had one seat. So I think that if we had a board, we'd like having a three-person board equal vote.
Right.
And can you go back and check and see if Oceana had a condition on our participation?
Sure. Well, we have a JPA agreement contract that we can reference, so I can get that.
Great. Thank you.
So my proposal, I don't know if Mr. Keesler, do you have anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
Do I have what?
Anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
No, because it was just a presentation, and there's going to be tons more discussion. And
I would propose we put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
That way we can digest some of this information. Some of it's
I do know we did. I delivered our quarterly check Tuesday. Weighed down on the side of the car. So.
Well, good thing you had the water bill on the other side.
Senator Guerrero?
Yes, Derek Angelo.
Yes, I'm looking at you as well, and I have over so much in terms of issue with this. I would like to have a little more time to go through this if we can. Probably last new piece coming in to get acquainted with it as well. I'm not sure how to come up with these two ways of doing this, but I think there should probably be some changes made or some other items added to it and changed around somewhat. And I know that you're on this pretty good most of the time. So I would like to see this discussed a little bit more in depth and get a little more information and have requested as well before we do any kind of vote or action on this.
I think so too. One of the things I was thinking as you were saying it, Director Angelo, was that the budget is about $3.6 million that the fire authority currently has. And I think that the communities would like to know is, well, we have 3.6, but we need 5, or we need 4.8, or whatever the number is, so that we can provide this service plus whatever additional services we'd like to be able to provide.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, the
budget.
Yeah, we know we're going to.
That's right. there anything else?
I have none.
Director Lucy?
No, I'll hold it.
Okay. Cheryl?
Yes.
All right. So I'll ask that we put this on for the next meeting on the 22nd so that we can take a position regarding these items. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you.
So why don't we go back to 7B? I guess that would be the report. That includes your report. Okay, you have five cities fire authority, Ricky. You were next up on the agenda also. Item 7B. Report of Five Cities Fire Authority Acting Fire Chief.
Yeah, we are attached to
it. Somebody thought you had done it.
This month, we ran 51 calls out of Station 61, Oceano Station. 29 of those were malfoid calls. Three of them were hazardous conditions. One involved the La Tapatia Market, where a vehicle went into the wall. It was unreinforced masonry, and we ended up having a structural engineer come out along with the building official. And we shored up a certain section of the store and put some false walls up there to keep people out of that area in case something happens or the structure could collapse. But we were also able to set it up to where the business was still able to function, stay open. We also had 7 public assist calls, 10 what are called good intention calls, which are incidents that, as we're responding to them, we get canceled en route, and then 2 false alarms.
I don't have any questions. Anybody have any questions? Chief?
Go ahead, Mary.
No, I'm not going to go there.
How did somebody hit the wall? That's a dirt lot next to that. Lots of
they took a, too many bears.
They put the street sign out also, and the vehicle was gone when we arrived. CHP was sitting there. And, I don't know what vehicle was involved.
It's just a little dent.
There's not much holding those bricks together.
I don't see how you missed that building.
Pardon?
I don't see how you missed that building. You go through the field to get to it. So.
I know. If you don't mind, I would like to invite Captain Huey up here if he has something that he would like to present.
Okay.
That's appropriate.
Captain Huey, those who don't know, Captain Huey, he works at our local Oceana stations.
All right, good evening. And I do have some information on that vehicle. Someone was test driving a new car.
Was it a diesel?
No, it was a little, I don't know, because when I got there, the car was already gone, so CHP had already cleared.
Rumor has it was a truck.
Yeah, I have no idea, I couldn't tell you. It was about that white. So, okay, well, good evening. I'm calling Huey, Five Cities Fire Authority. I'm sure you guys have seen what we had built down at the water yard at 13th Street, Highway 1. In late November, early December, Five Cities Fire Authority hosted a truck company operations training class, and the topics that we covered in this class were commercial, residential roof ventilation techniques, forcible entry in residential, commercial, and building large area search, and it went really well. We had instructors that came all the way from Sacramento Fire Department and San Jose Fire Department to kind of show us the tools of the trade. This was also for our new truck that we got off the grant purchase, so we could utilize that truck, and we knew exactly what we were doing with that. It worked really well. And I got to tell you, the class wouldn't have been possible at all if we didn't get permission from Oceana Community Services District to use that lot that was out there. All the materials that we used, the majority of the materials that we used was donated by local businesses here, so it was no cost to the authority, as well as all of the construction was done by virtually everybody on the department on and off duty, so we came in to make this thing happen. As a token of our appreciation, we'd like to present the Oceano Community Services District with it's actually a picture of our truck company operations class that we did. And I'll read this to you. It says, with great gratitude, The Five Cities Fire Authority would like to recognize the Oceanic Community Services District under the leadership of General Manager Tom Easling for the continued support of vital fire ground training to the personnel of the, from the personnel of the Five Cities Fire Authority.
Want that in a small building or large?
We'll take that here. Oh, we've got 7C, report of OCSD operations. Is there any public
comment on that? 7C. No.
All right. Report of OCSD operations.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to hand out the drafts of the 9-10 financial statements. They do exist, but they are drafts, and so they're not under public consumption at this time because we have a meeting on Friday with Moss Levy because we do have to restate based on what we discovered in this year's findings. But the restatement should be simple, and then we'll adjust these balances so that we'll go forward. But this is like 95% of having two down and one to go. So.
I could get teary-eyed, really. I never felt that way about numbers before. Thank you, Ms. McEaslin. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So, Manager Giesel, we're just taking these...
people of Oceano, thank you.
We're taking these under advisement at this point. What I'd like to do is review. I just got them tonight at 5:30, and I've gone through them. I noticed a couple things in there that we're going to have to change because we just, the stuff that has come to the forefront as we backtrack. But it gives you an idea, and we are in balance. We've got, it shows that they were solvent during that time period, which is another plus, which I said we were when I first got involved with this. The restatement, as I explained to you in the last meeting, has to do with money that we had received during the earthquake time, and when it was received in that given year, we received over $500,000, to which that has to take that audit to another level. So. That's what we're meeting on to get that done as quickly as possible. I find it amazing that all this stuff happens during tax time, so when you walk into the CPA's office, you know, on aspirin and coffee, and you know, you tell them you got to review something that we already beat them up to get done in last taxes. But it's positive to go forward.
So, sir, can I ask you that, can we have the opportunity to read this and then adopt it or not by the next meeting?
No, we have to make some changes. That's the draft. You're more than welcome to read it. Matter of fact, you should read it because you're reviewing it. And to make sure that things are...
But I'm just wondering what your time schedule is for adopting.
Probably the first meeting in March.
Okay.
And then those balances will be added back into the systems that we're operating under now, and we will be able to fine-tune even more. Okay, so that's that part.
Thank you so much.
Most of the financial information has been coming out on a regular basis on the Friday report. I pushed back on you guys last meeting saying this was a focus. Also, we're re-auditing all our billing codes and making sure that the meters that we have in place are the right ones. We're doing a conjunction with the project with the Sand District. And that's taken up a considerable amount of time. As far as somebody had a question about the computer hacking thing, we have been unable to attest to when it happened, other than that certain things changed. They were very good about what they did, and They were able to go through and enable remote access, but they were also able to obliterate the logs. So we, even though we sent the information off to the software company, they said the data's been corrupted. So whoever did it knew exactly what they were doing. I don't want to go into some of the files that they touched, but they didn't appear to be looking at any financial files. So we're okay. Plus, I don't have very many financial files on my computer in the first place. So, but we are following up with that. And we put in a new firewall that's actually a hardwire firewall, as well as the ones that we were purchasing from the software company. So that appears to keep things in check, but as you all know, if man made it, somebody's going to break it. And, I just kind of question the mentality of why these people feel the need to continue to try and disrupt, because it's so counterproductive. It takes time, and it's just, you know, we're trying to do good things here, and to have this stuff happen is just ridiculous. So.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's
Mr. Keesland, this is happening across the nation, and they are, I did read an article saying that they were hitting small governments, school districts and stuff. This hacking, you know, and, you know, nothing is safe anymore. You know, they practice on the smaller entities, the smaller, such as us. You know, and then they go on to the National Treasury, Wall Street, and all this stuff. And so it really is an epidemic. And I can't imagine anybody benefiting hacking into our stuff. You know, come on. You know, we're so transparent, don't waste your time. But, you know, I'm glad that you addressed it, but I'm just trying to say I'm not taking it personal.
Well, it's just I think we lost probably 3 days of just one trying to figure out how it happened, and when we did figure out, then we were sending stuff off to software companies and trying to get their deals. So it took time and effort, and you know, we're basically staff of six, not counting myself. So it's, you know, it is alarming. So those have been the priorities. I've had to attend a lot of meetings lately. I got the RAC has become a regular occurrence now, and there's a lot of things that directly affect us at the RAC. One is the integrated water resource management plan, which we are working with our other NCMA partners on, and we are we've combined with PISMO and other players like the sanitation district and stuff. We put in more money that was the county's dividing up, and I think I told you before there was like $3.6 million in requests for $1 million, and it looks like we may get $200,000 to apply to our water management plan. I just got the cost today remember I told you there's a county well that they put in at the base of the mesa, and I just got the cost to put the sensing equipment in that well, so that we not only have the sensor wells here, but we have it at the base of the mesa, so we can, one, verify that the quality of the water there is as good as we think it is. Two, it's going to let us know if there's any you know, pumping depressions. And three, it's going to basically tie everything in together, so as different people make different statements, we'll at least have the facts to back that up. So, and I'm real excited about that. It's going to be a cost of about $7,000, but it's no longer going to be hearsay. It's going to be cold hard fact. And these things, as I stated before, we get readings every 15 minutes, and then they download them over a period of time, and then that all goes into our database, and we make those we put those reports out. So I'm excited about that as well. On the Zone 11A. Big rainstorm was supposed to happen, it didn't. We've been communicating with the county. The gentleman that spoke before about the flap gates, when they get to put that stuff in there, there's some metal structures that have been tweaked as well, either by the weight of the person doing it or them using that thing as a fulcrum, and so it's beating it up. So the county is restoring the instructional integrity of the flap gate. We haven't had to do much monitoring, obviously, though Director Lucy has become part of the Beaver Dam monitoring her force because she walks the lake every day, and there are 12 beaver dams on that lake. And I believe I published pictures showing the high tide event where it actually, when the high tide came, that the creek was definitely rising because one beaver dam is 5 feet tall, and that when you looked at the pictures, it was like the water was 6 inches below on each side. So, you know, but those little varmints are a double-edged sword because, yeah, they block the river, but they can cut down trees and we'll never get a permit to cut down. And they've been cutting down trees at a fervent pace. So, but
ours are bionic, though. There's a difference.
Yeah,
they're mean machines.
It is just unbelievable. You know, when they want to go do something, it's just they can
just
do something.
Just send them on their way.
Yep, they're good. So the nice thing is I don't think anybody can turn them into the Coastal Commission. So, as they go and clean that up for us. All right, I have. Ever since I got here, I talked about that we weren't going to do business the old way anymore. There was going to be no secret meetings, no backdoor deals, no private deals, that we were going to base everything on fact, and we were going to allow as much sunshine into this organization as we possibly can. And we belong to a group called the NCMA, which is the Northern Cities Management Group. And I probably agitated there as much as I've agitated other places, as most of you know, because I know you get calls when I do it. And back in November, there was the Nacimiento Water Project had about an $8 million surplus.
Right.
And so every agency in the world was trying to get their hands on that money, including our group, the NCMA, because we want to get part of that money to basically help fund our water management plan. And so we have a facilitator called WSC, and they keep track of everything. They do a lot of the hydrology, and they collect all the data and everything. And they produced a letter that was supposed to be private, that was supposed to go to Pablo Ogren, basically telling him that we wanted part of that money, and the amount of money we wanted was $850. And in the second or third paragraph, there was a mention of the seawater intrusion that we all hear about. And I presented our data about how I personally feel about the seawater intrusion and then how we as an Oceana board feel about the seawater intrusion. And they basically said, this is basically so we can get this money, so we can get this groundwater plan, so we'll be able to collect even more data and be able to respond quicker and everything. So I signed that letter. And I resisted signing it, but I'm always talking about being a team player and working together. As you know, I've been pushing to get, not for us not to be the rogue agency, but to work on team play and everything. And so somehow that letter got out in the public. And so there's feedback saying that your general manager says this, but he puts this in play on another deal. So I wanted to clarify that to you and the board, because it was only supposed to go to there, and it was so we could get additional funding to make the NCMA a stronger and more accurate reporting system. So I'm kind of falling on my sword here. Because,
well, don't fall too
hard. No, but what I mean is that in retrospect, I probably should have stuck to my guns and said, no, I'm not signing it, you know, with this paragraph in there. But at the time, it was the decision that I made, and I'm standing by it, but it doesn't change the opinions that I have. It was all in the effort of being a team player. And I probably should have brought a copy to that letter to you as well, but as Molly knows, what goes on in that deal is attorney-client confidential. And there's times that I'm not supposed to speak on that, because if I ever do, I get all these attorneys calling up and giving heck to me and telling Molly he needs to keep his mouth shut. So But tonight, I just wanted you guys to know that, and that I did make, I did do it. I made a mistake. I should have held firmer to my principles. But in the interest of team play and getting along with my neighbors and other water contractors, I felt it was something that they needed to be doing at the time.
Was it like an MOU or was it a letter of support?
No, it was basically a request that said we understand that there's $8.5 million in Osceola Mountain budget surplus. We would like if when you go to carve that up.
So it was an intro?
Yeah, it was kind of like, hey, this is what we want to do.
I just want to know.
And it went to Pablo Ober and it came back with an email that he basically said all the things that I was saying before I signed it.
Okay.
Now, the other thing that I need to point out is that this did manifest itself in somewhat of a good way because we all bound together when and used that to go after that $200,000 that we're trying to get from the RAC, which they're deciding which they're going to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. But, you know, my biggest adjustment is that in the private sector, there's stuff that's like on a need-to-know basis. And in the public sector, I believe that there's times when there's a need-to-know basis. But when people just grab a document and just run wild with it and think, oh, this is going one way or not the other, I believe I put us in a somewhat bad spot, and I apologize for it.
Well, thank you for bringing it forward.
I'd just like to say, I kind of read a lot of this stuff that's coming, all this information about, you know, as you alluded to, I'm glad that we're going to be able to put a well out there at the bottom of Mesa. So, you know, I mean, this is what we do. We do water, so we understand water. And you've got a lot of engineers out there that, you know, that whatever, and the motivation to me seems that they're out trying to get these grants, and they're trying to last some money in, and if they can find any kind of etchy part like seawater intrusion that they can throw in or as a scare tactic to get that money out, they're going to do it. But you know, and it kind of we talked a little bit about Napomo's presentation. I mean, there's some of that information out there. I don't know where they get this stuff. And, you know, and they keep trying to dump them on us over here, and, you know, we're just trying to provide the service out.
Well, we have those two items on the agenda, which we can address at the thank you. Specific time.
Good job.
And that's all I have for right now.
Okay.
Can I propose we take a 5-minute break, because there's a couple things I need to double check.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Jeff will be next up.
Very good.
Thank you. It's 42 after 7. 5 minutes. By the way, why don't you come back at 10 till?
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll have to go for more someday.
Every day.
Yeah. They got, they brought him up to dinner.
Do you have an extra
They brought him up, they brought him up to dinner. Guess we need to talk. Well, I know, I guess Bill knows. Did it for a prize. He was offered, he had already checked, he was checking where he
Well, yeah, he had a zero.
Hey, those guys are looking for me. Listen, I read out the SEC. Town Hall on the proposed water regulations, and it's at the O'Connor Boardroom, the CMR School District, 602 Orchard Street, Building B, Rory Grandy. I asked for an agenda, but they haven't put one out yet, but basically it's ag is pushing back on some of the water regulations that have been put through. All voters are pushing back, and so I'll be in attendance for that tomorrow too, if you'd like to go.
What time is this o'clock?
It's at 5:30 to 7:30. At the Lucia Mar Boardroom. Okay. It's probably critical that we are there. I just got this on Tuesday morning, so. And I talked to his rep, and she said that as soon as she got the agenda, she'd send it over to me.
Do we have public comment from Mr. Edwards?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to briefly speak to item 7C, and that's the letters that your GM referenced regarding the NCMA technical group. I think this falls under the category, if you say it enough, people start to believe it. This fiction of seawater intrusion in Oceano, as you may know, started with the Barbara Mann letter that was a form letter and all the NCMA participants signed it. That was November 2009. Been trying to put the genie back in the bottle ever since. This latest letter is really incredible that Mr. Gieselin has signed. He's apparently succumbed to pressure from the technical group to create a fiction to apply for money is unethical at the least. You shouldn't have to fake an emergency to either apply for money or pursue a particular water project. Let the merits of projects speak for themselves. Coincidentally, this letter that was signed by the NCMA participants addressed to Pavel Ogren of the Public Works Department, he sent an email back slamming the letter because it wasn't strong enough. It doesn't cry out enough about seawater intrusion. That's preposterous. It's just beyond belief how this thing, and of course, the items on the agenda, the question of a seawater intrusion letter that your board is writing, we're going to be speaking to that, but now how does this relate to that? It affects the credibility of this board and this district. I think it's imperative that you get on the same page, and this is a very important item. Your 900 acre feet of groundwater is the single largest asset that this district owns. Bar none. And I'll expand on that later, but this just simply can't continue, and we need to get arms around this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there any other public comment? Is there any other public comment?
None on this issue.
Moving to item 7D, report of board of directors and outside committees. Let's start with Director Hurdle. Do you have any report of the outside committees?
I didn't attend any of our formalized committee meetings, but we did have our first executive meeting for the Cinco de Mayo project, which is one of our economic vitality projects, and it did go well, and we are planning another one and next week, and we will continue to report on that. We're excited about the event and coming along.
Vice President Lucy, do you have any reports?
Yeah, I do have a few reports. excuse me. First of all, I'd like to have added to the agenda the Zone 3 annual budget. Just got the budget. This is where all our money for our water goes for the people of Oceano. And so when we pay our water bills and the general manager has to cut those big checks for like $200,000 for our share and stuff, this gives an extensive cost breakdown of that. And it's not a web page, but if you'd like pieces of this one, I'd be happy to photocopy them for you or however. But it is on the web page with the county. And so I would like it on the agenda to discuss it and how it's relevant to Oceano. We talked a lot about Zone 3 is the board that was created in 85 for the people who owned
and part of the water project, the dam, you know, the water curve. I can't pronounce that word. Anyway, so there is a seat of seven people, and it's called the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. And what it does is there's the technical committee, and it feeds in the Zone 3, and Zone 3 either gives it a thumbs up, thumbs down, and then it goes on to the Board of Supervisors, right? Well, the last time the bylaws for this committee, when they were reviewed or when they were created, was 1985. So we thought maybe it was time that we go back, revamp it. The county has built more of an infrastructure and what really is the purpose of this body. Up in the North County, they have the Nacimiento body, and I have their and they call themselves the Nacimiento Project Commission. Difference being the Zone 3 calls themselves the Advisory Committee. Up north, they call it a commission. Now, wordsmithing does make a difference in when you're doing these documents as to what's the purpose of your committee, what are you supposed to oversee, and is it really worth having you there? So when you apply for things like state water and things like that, they want you to have these certain advisory committees together. So there is more input than just the Board of Supervisors. So I raised my hand to go back and look and read the bylaws and the mission statement since 85 to see if Zone 3 works, particularly for Oceana. Does it work? Okay, does what they've created, the structure, is it relevant, is really kind of my big question. Because there's an entire department that is built around Zone 3. And so Zone 3 is to watch the Lopez, you know, deal with state water issues, and pretty much do everything that the technical group and takes into consideration what the RAC group, even though RAC reports directly to the Board of Supes, they're not intertwined with Zone 3, but they do run a parallel track. RAC oversees countywide, Zone 3 oversees only Lopez Dam and as it relates to the dam. So, on the board there are seven chairs, seven seats. Five people are holding seats from, you know, Oceano, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and then Agriculture has an at-large seat, and I don't know who else the other one is.
Pismo.
One is what?
Pismo.
No, that's elected.
Avalon.
No, that's... Well, actually, Avila does hold the at-large seat. Okay, so the at-large seats don't have term limits. The elected people who sit at that table, all five of us have term limits. We have term limits that are driven by an election. So we have 4 years. The at-large seats are held by engineers and people who have just been there since day one. So what I've proposed is that the two at-large seats have 4-year terms, the same as the people who are elected. Now we kind of went back and forth on this because they go, well, like for example, one of the other cities has had the same rep for 15 years, but the gentleman has been elected for 15 years. His city continually appoints him back to that body. So he does have a term limit. He has a term limit of 4 years. So the people who have vested the money into it, who really have been elected, and the people of their area have asked them to sit on this body, have term limits, where these two at-large seats just go forever. And in fact, I think one seat has been held by the same person the entire time. Okay, so I've asked that the recommendation be is that the two at-large seats have 4-year rotations. And that just gives people a chance to put in an application. If they want to hold that seat, then they have an opportunity to participate. If the seat never goes up, then it never goes vacant, and the same person holds it for life, and that's pretty much what's happened. When Zone 3 had their elections for who was going to chair this year, it was decided long before the party sat at the table, and it was pretty much, I could tell, it was, well, you do it this time, and we moved on. And so what I'm asking that Oceana has been involved in Zone 3 since its inception. I asked how many times has Oceana had a rep chair Zone 3 since 85? And the answer was zero. Zero. We have never had the opportunity to chair Zone 3. Even though we're 33% stakeholders in it, right? It's always been decided before. So I've asked that the chair be a rotation, that it automatically rotates every single year, so everybody has an opportunity to play in that leadership role. Thirdly, is that I've asked that an appeals process be put in. So if that board votes, say it's a vote of 5-1, a Royal Grand hypothetically does not agree with the body's decision. At this point, it's done deal. It's over with. Now we can go as individuals or as board members on Zone 3 and appeal Zone 3's decision to the Board of Supervisors. Now, I'm not saying this is going to flop. And I'm not saying this is going to pass by Zone 3, right? But these, as your rep, these are the recommendations that I've come up with to try to make this a stronger, fairer board. Okay? And it really annoys me that Oceano has never chaired this body. So anyway, then we're rewriting the mission statement, because the mission statement is supposed to basically drive the direction you're going. The mission statement drives your scope of work. Okay, so I'm doing a swipe at the mission statement right now, and I'm working with John over at the county, and he's running it too, and basically we're beefing it up, have it be more reflective of what Zone 3 actually does, because what they do now and what they did in 85 is really very different things. So that's one thing. So we're in the midst of a bylaw change. And then the last recommendation that I had to them was that they do an organizational chart. That, you know, people think RAC is part of Zone 3 and TAC is part of TIC and VIC and oh my God, you know. And unless you sit there for 4 years, you can't, then the lights start to come on, okay? So that's for just an organizational chart. That's it, you know. So we'll see if those are the four recommendations that I made on behalf of Oceano. And if anybody has anything that they'd like to put in to that, please. I'm really open for it.
I think those are really thoughtful recommendations.
I try to be very fair. You know, because I don't think there is not much into being fair.
How well were they received?
How well was it received? Just getting them to agree that they need to be reviewed was a victory. Now we haven't presented it to Zone 3 yet. So I suspect that there will be. I think there's a very good justification for making the 4-year term seats on the at large. I mean, I can't. That's where I'm going to lay my cards. If it really comes down to it, I think that's like my strongest recommendation, and the rotation of the chair. And then, you know, I'll compromise on the others, but those two, no compromise, I think. You know, and if they don't go for it, then I'll pull it off the agenda. I'll pull it off the table, and I will go back at it until they do go through, do it right.
I think all four of the suggestions would make would streamline the organization and make it far more effective.
Yeah, at least a little bit more fair.
Yeah, choose your battles.
Yeah, and Rick's worked on these really, really hard as well, too, you know. So, secondly, on the RAC, what's happened is RAC, they love to visit with themselves. They love it to death, right? And so Tom has graciously taken the morning shift, right? Which is, I think, from 9 to 1. I can either do morning or I can do afternoon, but I cannot regurgitate it all day long. I can't do it. And then usually I come in at 1 and then Mr. Geislin goes off to what other meeting he has. This week I did not have an opportunity to do that. Mr. Geislin covered it all day long for me. I apologize, but I actually had a water line break in my yard. And the water yard was... They were wonderful. The guys were absolutely wonderful. So it didn't cost me an arm and a leg, but Mr. Geislin stepped in and handled that all day for me. So. And the other meeting, I was a month too early.
Mr. Searcy, do you have any, I think you went to Sanitation District last week.
Yeah, I had attended the South County Sanitation District meeting, and it's biggest item on the agenda was the rebuilding of the forklift. I had an opportunity to go out to the plant and talk to Clint, the supervisor of Lenzola. The plant is running, at its averages and it's running very well. There's a few capital improvements that'll be coming up for the sanitation district, but here soon they'll be looking at the budget. And then I just had a little bit of information on the Zone 3 technical.
I have one sand question for you when you're done.
Okay. The projects that currently are on the table for the technical committee is the Rodriguez Bridge, the habitat plan update for the Roy Grande Creek, Lopez emergency releases for the storm damage reduction, and then there was two issues here with the county council to review the status of the Department of Water Resources water rights permit and the dam retrofit EIR ability. And then, we did get a copy of the upcoming budget, and they also list the Zone 3 bylaws revision here, and a mission statement, and a project, excuse me, a 33-inch pipeline pigging project, and the water treatment plant is running very well.
Vice President, does he have a question for you?
Yes.
Do we have a bond assessment attached to the Sand District that matures in 2012?
I couldn't answer that.
I don't know off the top of my head either. That's your question.
Okay, because I think our bond, it matures this year for the Sand District. So, you know, my view has always been is that if I invest in something, I want a return. You know, I don't invest in things just to be nice. Well, sometimes, but not always. But with people's money, no, I'm not caring. So if that bond is going to mature for that sanitation district this year, right, which means people in Oceano pay their fair share, I'd like the Sand District to decide what percentage will go back to the investors, which would be Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and later on came on Rover Beach. So I don't think it would be a 33.
It should be a different accounting, would be your recollection.
Because Rover Beach came on later. They took the county's role.
So it does have, a little thought has to be put into it, but that bond matures this year.
I'll take this in action item and report it out.
Thank you, Manager. I don't have anything to report. I was involved in the trial. That's all right.
Did you win?
I did.
Big time.
I
did. News and everything.
A review, item number 8, review and approval of minutes from January 25th, 2012. I do know we have. Pardon?
Oh, excuse me, we have a public comment.
Oh, public comment.
On the board members' reports.
Oh. Is there public comment on the board members?
It said, it wasn't all that specific. It said, depending on the director's report. So I guess Ms. Henson would like to report.
Sorry, my
apologies.
Yes,
Ms.
Henson.
Hi, I'm Carol Henson Oceano. I wanted to comment also on the OCSD operations, if that's okay, I can talk to Tom later. I wanted to say that I appreciate the efforts that Mary Lucy is making on behalf of Zone 3, and I'm surprised that she stated that Zone 3 has been in existence since 1985, and it's always amazed me that no one's ever come around for the mission statement and recognize that, you know, that there is a rotation of the members that are not the term members. So I think that's very intuitive of Mary to pick that up, and I think that even if it weren't Oceano that got it, I don't think it's, I do believe that that would enable each district, each community with water to be able to have a say. And what's happened is that through the years, as Mary did point out, these people have continued to be in this position, and you know, there's no new ideas and no new perspectives of looking at it. And I do think that for everyone to be able to cooperate and appreciate the position that their neighbors in, a rotating chair or a couple of rotating chairs, and I'm really surprised that they would even agree to that. So I want to congratulate Mary and Owen. You know, give her encouragement and my support to prevail. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, I just want to make it very, very clear. They haven't adopted those recommendations yet. It's on the agenda for the next Zone 3.
Well, if they want to adopt them this year, if they keep with people like you, continue hacking away at them, hopefully, because that's really fair and equitable. The same people can't have the same positions within our community year after year without it becoming unequitable. So, you know, I want to congratulate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment, Manager?
Doesn't appear to be at this time.
Moving on to item number 8, review and approval of minutes of January 25th, 2012. Previously, George Thacker did make a comment about the report of the OCSD operation. Should include that it mentioned that our website was hacked. Hacked, right under 7 minutes. I was reading too far. So I think that. Or the vandalism?
Yeah, not just the website.
The vandalism problem. Why don't we add on the bottom of 7A that there was a vandalism?
What vandalism?
I think tonight, she's talking about the vandalism to the website. Is that
no, computer hacking?
It's here. Mm-hmm. The computer hacking is in
the minutes? Yeah. Okay, that's why I make sure that the minutes reflect the time that she did.
No, I would like to remind everybody that this is America, and you're innocent until proven guilty, and when you go through a due process, you have to identify all the issues before you go out and make accusations, and we're in conversation with everybody that we should be at this time, and when you get better, we'll let everybody know what we've done.
Is there any other comment on the minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes.
A second.
Can we get a roll call vote, Carolyn?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Minutes are approved by vote 5-0. Moving on to item number 9, cash disbursements.
We have public comment. Carol Benson.
I'm Senator Knight. I have a thank you very much for the meeting.
Good night, Ms. Simpson. Is there any other public comment?
No, none other at this time. At this time, I'd like to do disbursements in the neighborhood of $40,000. When I said the last couple have been $400,000 and $500,000, but this is only
$40,000. So I thought I might have missed something, but not $360,000.
No, it's only $40,000.
Thank you. Very important comment.
I really wanted to run over to the mic. I can't express how thrilled I am that I have this audit in my hand.
Is there any board comment on item 9, the cash disbursements?
I move that we accept the expenditures.
Is there a second?
Second.
Can I get a roll call vote, Carolyn?
Vice President Lucy?
Yep.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Angelo? Director Angelo?
Lori.
Lori, do you have a vote on the warrants?
Yes, I voted yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes, passes 5-0. Moving on to administrative item number 10B, Oceana Water Rate Correction.
Right. In your staff report, you have a copy of the Santa Maria Times article that talked about Napomo's water rates and they compared them to everybody. With the chart given call out, it said that it was the average rate payers, and so naturally that came out in the paper and we started getting calls saying, why is our water rate so high? And nowhere in the chart did it say that it was based on 40 units, which appears to be the Napomo average rate, where ours is 25 units, and so that's what the difference is. So our average bi-monthly water bill is right around $100, not counting sanitation and everything else. That includes $14 for the Lopez mediation and then sanitation sewer based on the needs of sanitation sewer. So this article caused a whole bunch of questions being asked, and so I brought it to the table, and then Michael LeBrun responded, which I believe you got copies of his response, to which he said that the chart that the paper put in was dated or stale, and he supplied us with additional data. So, you know, if they're providing the data, I'm curious how they got a stale chart in the first place, but it caused enough inquiries in our office that I needed to be addressed.
Is there any action you recommend taking on this?
No, but it's just that the public needs to know that the average Oceana user uses 25 units and apparently the poem only uses 40, and that's what they're basing it on.
Is there any
public?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Again, that's just a secret public comment.
Well, who provided them with the graph? Was it the poem that provided them with the boxes? Was it RAC?
No, it was Napomo that provided them with the data.
So it was Napomo that provided them with the data?
Right.
So do you think it would be appropriate to send a letter to Napomo and says, you know, look, you know, when you put bad information out, you must retract.
They're claiming that the paper printed a graph that was an old graph. But when you read the article and everything, it just says the average rate payer. It doesn't say that that's based on 40 units anyway. So it presents a somewhat slanted view, but, you know, I've given stuff to the paper before too, and than what they print is completely different.
Well.
So, but I just, we got enough calls and enough inquiries, and we've already talked about how what a hot button the phone is right now, but it needed to be addressed so the public knew. And then this was the best way for me to get that to everybody's attention.
Should we write a letter to the editor of the Adobe Press and say that we feel your numbers aren't correct because it reflects a higher usage than what's our average usage?
Well, you know what? I see it differently, I guess. I see it as a consistent pattern of misinformation coming out of one geographic area. Whether it's salt water or whether it's particulates in the air, you know, or whether it's how much consumption. Bottom line is the propaganda is not accurate and it's coming out of one southern geographical area. And I would like to write them a letter.
Well,
as a private citizen, I'll write them a letter.
It's up to your board. If you decide you want to take action, then you can.
But it's tied to the inaccuracies. It's just like the inaccuracies.
So I guess we need a.
Well, we don't need a motion.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
We can put. I can make a motion to put it on the next agenda, and maybe you know a path, we're going to direct these guys to.
I don't think it's worth it. I think it would just be taking up staff time, to be honest with you. I think if people in Oceana want to write a letter and say, you know what, knock it off, great, because that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to ask the staff to write any more letters because, you know, what's it going to do? You're going to take it and file it. So, I say throw this one back in, out to the community. I'll pay for the stamps, personally.
There's no public comment.
Move to item 10C, review addendum to the Arroyo Grande water contract with attached to our packet. Manager Giesling, is there any public comment? Or?
We have public comment from Jeff Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Jeff Edwards. First of all, Mr. President, I'd like to respectfully disagree with your legal counsel regarding the procedure on taking public testimony for public hearing items. The public is at a significant disadvantage without hearing the staff remarks, especially when there is no written staff report. Which is the case in some items. If this board is looking for the highest quality of public input on respective considerations, it would behoove you to take public testimony following the staff remarks or staff report. Now, with regard to the item, that's the amendment to the temporary agreement with the City of Rio Grande, I'd like to make a number of observations. First of all, last meeting, on January 25th, there was some confusion. Your GM stated that Arroyo Grande received state water or Lopez water, Zone 3 water. And I'd like to correct that, the agreement, and I've reviewed the original temporary transfer. The agreement calls for Lopez, that is Zone 3 water, or groundwater to be delivered. And it's my understanding that your district has done both, that is delivered groundwater to Rio Grande as well as delivering Zone 3 water. So I'd like to clarify that. As you also know, the City of Rio Grande is considering a ballot measure that they would put to their voters considering state water. And I think that plays into the larger water picture for the NCMA. I think it's imperative that your board consider that bigger picture before amending any contracts with the Rio Grande. There are a number of things happening. There's a lot of moving parts. And certainly the value of the water in question is at issue as water values are escalating substantially. So those are my comments. I would urge your board to to postpone this amendment until you do look at some of the big, bigger pictures and perhaps convene with the rebranding. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
No, just not.
Is there any board comment on this item?
Well, I'd like to hear staff report first.
There is no written report, just a documentation that included the board package. And we got the addendum, which was agreed by council, and she had no issues with the addendum. There was one issue that Roy Grandy would like to, instead of taking the water by the end of the contract, he would like an additional time in which to take it. Right now we're in the third year of a 5-year deal with an option for 3 more. And they are looking at going through acquiring state water, as several other people, because of the capacity study that was done that showed that there was more water had the ability to come through them than there is now. But they will have to mitigate a significant portion of that, and they have to go, they're doing the analysis of whether they really want to do that. I explained all the risks before, and so the only reason why it's back here today is because at the end of year 5, they would, if they haven't taken 100 acre feet, they would like to take the 100 acre feet in the following year. But it's clearly a temporary contract, it's not a permanent contract. It's just something that they've asked, and I've already spelled out all the risks. For those that don't remember, they pay us a fee for it. If the price of water goes up after they banked it, they have to pay us the difference. If it goes down, we still get the amount of money that we got.
And our inclination at the last meeting when we discussed this was to go ahead and take the payment now rather than taking it.
Correct.
I think that's still my inclination, to go ahead and take the payment now. If the rate goes up, I'll pay the difference. Is there a sunset? I can't recall. Is there a sunset provision of when they have to take the water by?
That's the problem. It does give them an extra few years outside the contract. That's kind of the main issue that you guys need to decide. It does give them extra years outside the term of the contract, but it extends their right to buy water beyond what they have the right now. And that's kind of why we brought it back. You guys need to decide whether you want to keep that open for them.
And if they don't take it by the end of the 3 years after the expiration of the contract, they've lost it.
Correct.
Now, what is it? I can't remember the legal term for this, but say by the rights to something, no, don't use that word. Shares, right? Say something costs $1 million, right? And you're going to buy it in a certain amount of time, right? And you give $100,000 down, but you can't advertise to sell because the $100,000 that they gave you to hold, in other words, you have to pull whatever you're selling off the market for a certain amount of time. What is that called?
So essentially what they're asking is we give them an option. They have an option to buy water. And what they're asking is that we extend that option, meaning we hold the water off the market for that additional amount of time.
So they just call it, legal term is an option.
This is kind of essentially what it is, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not like you. I'm feeling funny about tying my hands for 8 years. Because it's going to come down to 8 years. We're on a 5-year contract. They're going to extend the contract for 3 years. That would be 8 years, right? We're 3 years into a 5-year contract. We're 3 years into an 8-year contract if we sign it. Okay, what happens if it doesn't rain for 3 years? And the state.
Director Lucy, we're 3 years into a 5-year contract that we've already signed.
Correct.
And already executed. And inside that contract is the option for them to request a 3-year extension of that said contract under those terms. what they're asking for now is because we had a banner year with respect to supplemental water, that they buy their supplemental water at $90 an acre foot and use that, and then in a drought year, come back and take that 100 acre feet at a later date.
It's the same amount of water. They're not asking for more water.
They're not asking for more water. They're asking for more time. That's what they're asking for. More time and store this water for me while you're at it, is the way I read it. Is that this is asking for 3 more years onto the 5, and we already agreed that we would give them, as an in-kind, neighborly thing, capacity, meaning we'll hold your water for you for the extent of this contract, was my understanding. Okay, now they want to extend the contract 3 years. So we're saying, well, we'll hold your water now for 5 years. Okay, so in that 5 years' time, the state has decided that we're in a drought because we don't have any snow caps up there, right? And they cut our allocation down to 30 or 40% of state water. Now we're into a 3 or 4 year drought, right? Lopez is not holding, not, we wish we were at 82% after a 3-year drought. We wish that reservoir had 82%. It won't have anywhere near 82% in it if we're to go into a drought. Meanwhile, the salt water propaganda wheel is rocking and rolling over here, and our groundwater is in jeopardy. Now comes AG going, and by the way, kick down our water. I'm worried. I'm not worried about the 5-year contract. I was confident then. I was confident because of the groundwater source. I was confident because of the level of the dam. And I was confident because the surplus water that was in there. 8 years makes me nervous. And I want to be pretty peace. You know, I want to be work with AG and whoever needs water. Because, yeah, we do have water. If other people need water, I'm willing to work with it. But I don't know what it's going to look like 8 years down the road. And that's scary. Sorry.
Well, I think at this point, though, we extend out 5. It's 3 of the 8 already gone.
It was 5 to begin with.
Correct, we're 3 years into that.
That's right.
2 years
left. So we should technically have 2 years left.
Correct.
And I have no problem. I have no problem providing them. When I use the term capacity, it means to store. And I have no problem providing AG 2 years of free capacity. You know, because that's what we've done. We're holding the water. That's fine. That I get nervous that there's an extension in here.
There is, you know, and that those are valid concerns, but weighing against that, we all have to consider. Is that they have a limited amount of water that they're entitled to purchase, and they can purchase that. What they're asking is an extension of time, and they have to pay for it whether they take it or not. So,
not much, but
whatever, and they are paying for it whether they take it. So they're not asking to take more water. They're just asking for an extension of time to take the water that they're already obligated to pay for. So that's what you're considering, not an additional amount of water, just an additional amount of time to provide water that they are obligated to pay for.
And an option. And they're kind of tying our hands.
No, they have the option. They've always had the option.
They have the option.
They've always had it. They're just
They only have it for 5 years. And
right.
2 years left at this point. We're getting ready to give them 3 more years of option.
Correct. And no additional water, just long reading time. Right. I just want to make that clear. That's what you're thinking about. That's what you're considering.
So now we're back. Basically, we can just log going back to square one on the timeline.
Yeah, that's
started
yeah,
with 5, and now we're back. The issue on the table is 5. And now it's hold it for 5 years. Has that changed, or are we still just holding it for 2 years?
If they they asked to be able to hold it beyond the length of the 5-year term. They're still paying for the water. It's just they want to take it when they need it. And right now they don't need it.
I think there needs to be a time limit, because and what I'm thinking, and I don't know, I just throw this out here, is that if that lake gets to a certain point, then Oceano has the option of taking back our capacity water. That will go for as long as we can, right? But if that lake drops, say in year 6, right, that lake drops to a certain level, right, and our livelihood is at risk, we have to be able to get out of this. You know, we have to be able, we can't let them take what, you know, it is a risky move. 3 years, I mean, it's, you know, I was comfortable with 5 because I knew what we had, and I knew where we were going. Right now, I don't know where we're going. I haven't even looked at my farmer's almanac. You know, it didn't rain this year, you guys. Every storm we've banked on, it's just passed us up. There's no snow on our mountains up there. Europe's got a lot of snow. That's just my, I don't even know if it's humble, but that's my opinion.
It's really a budgeting issue. We're obligated to provide X amount of water if they want it. And they're obligated to pay for X amount of water whether or not they take that water.
So, that's right. And I'm fine with that, and I hold firm to that. But do I want to push it out 3 more years?
And that is really the kind of budgeting and neighborly thing to do. And that's really the question, is are you willing to take that risk?
It's a risk.
Well, I see that, you know, our district entered into this agreement with the Wood Randy in good faith. And I think it just should be carried out, you know. At the end of 5 years, and if they need 3 more years, then unless we renegotiate.
Yeah.
You know, let's, you know, if they need 3 more years, well, then let's renegotiate. You know, unless, if, you know, they're willing to take 200 acre feet and pay us 200 acre feet, and then we'll give them the 3-year extension. That's a money, that's
but
a budget.
You may as well give it to them if the same concern would be there, so you may as well do this, then if you're going to do
that. Yeah, I would do that. But yeah, that's
But as it is, I think Mary brings out some pretty good issues, and, you know, I'd say let this, let that agreement stand for the 5 years and renegotiate if they need it.
I understand why, you know, they want to store it. I'd be storing it too. I think that's a wise managerial decision, you know, for their city. I would be doing the same strategy.
Well, we're storing it as well.
We own it.
We're buying the cheap, that we're taking the cheap surplus water that we were lucky enough to get last year.
Right.
I mean, our ground pumping is next to nothing.
That's right.
Well, we had that report here not a couple months back, and we're right around 5-6%. And Arroyo Grande and Grover, you know, in the 90s. So.
Look, I don't have any problem sharing and helping, right? What I have problems in is if we get in trouble, we're locked. You know, if they want to come back to the table and say a year or 2 years and say, can we roll this contract over for another couple of years and everything looks peachy and we know that we can sustain ourselves? Sure, no problem. I don't have an issue with that. And right now, 5 years out, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I'm wondering if the issue is, if one of the issues is storage, would it sweeten the pot if we asked them to pay for the storage? And is that even something?
It's the option I'm even more concerned, the option of locking it up is what if, you know, they're not paying us any extra to come up off the market. They're asking us, you know, and we have an option.
Well, that's not true. We're getting,
so our option
market,
for 8 years.
Plus a percent.
Did you see what the percentage was?
Yeah.
Are you as a wise man, do you think that that's a good percentage?
I didn't write the contract.
I know you didn't. That's why I'm asking you that question.
In my mind, you have two choices. You can do like you did before and say what the contract states and who it is. Yep. Or you can do a motion to accept what is put before you. Or you can do another thing and push Molly and I back to go talk to him about these issues that you have and then come to some resolution.
You know, I would feel very comfortable if staff would, if you could take another shot at it and explain to them. There's two things that Oceana's giving you in kind. We're giving you capacity. We're giving you free storage, right? And at this point, we haven't charged you for an option. So those are the two things, and, you know, we understand why you're, you know, drinking your surplus. We drink it too, right? But what are you going to do for us? Are they going to commit to another 100-acre fee? Because they're already pumping capacity. We have extra water. Are they going to come back and say, yeah, it will bring you a 2-year op, 3-year option for another 100-acre fee? If there was a sale attached to that additional 3 years, well, you might have my ear a little bit closer, but it's not. It's give, you know. So now I want to be fair. So we can't keep, you know, the options are expensive.
Hello?
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I have that instead of the agreement to automatically extend, do we change it automatically to another discussion to the extension, renegotiation, or something like that? That we could extend it the maximum to the 8 years. But say the 5 years and then we'll readdress it again once that's completed. But not, you know, I don't know if that would work, so go for something like that, but it's not an automatic extension without some conversation. What do you think it would take?
Can I ask that we table this until we talk, until staff has a chance to go through all the pros and cons again? I know you've been through it before.
Well, let me make sure this is what you want. So you want me to go back and ask for a capacity / storage
fee,
and you want to limit the time that they can extend out to take the water.
What we agreed to is to provide them capacity for the last 2 years of the 5-year contract. And they're asking us to, one, extend the contract and provide them capacity, which would be for 5 years. So I'm not asking for compensation on the original contract because that would be going back on our word, and that's not right. But we didn't say, oh, you can do this forever, you know. So that's one, that point out that we are providing that. And two is that I don't know if we ever got compensated for the option. You know, we never, you know, and maybe you guys can talk about that amongst yourselves. And I'm not saying that we should go back
to the first five-year contract and readdress it, that I'm not going to, if we're going to extend this contract, we're going to talk about it.
How do we value an option?
We've already done an agreement for the 5 years, and instead of just an automatic extension, we can negotiate it differently or word it differently so we get the final shift person to negotiate for the years out with that one.
Is there any other board comment? So I think what we're asking is we're directing staff to speak to Roy Grandy on those terms we discussed.
Yes.
Is that a consensus?
Yes.
Thank you. Move on to item 8D, review draft saltwater intrusion by there. I know that won't happen.
We've got a bunch of public comments.
Okay. Why don't you start with public comment? Then.
Julie Tarker.
Julie?
Well, we're on the saltwater. There was a posting on the internet that referenced the saltwater, and early on, Mr. Peterson, did we pull that down? It was some paper on the state of water and oceanography. We did get that off, right? And it had referenced saltwater intrusion.
I can't answer that question.
Okay, because I looked for it and I couldn't find it. I think I heard you say you were going to pull it off. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ms. Jackson.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tucker. I do live in Los Osos. And I think I just heard that you said there is no draft letter. So there's.
I don't have a copy.
There wasn't one with your.
There is no draft letter.
There is no draft letter. Okay, I just want to get that clear. When there's an agenda item, one would expect there to be a draft letter. So, again, I'm at a disadvantage. But I have been following this issue. I live in Los Osos, where seawater intrusion is real. And even Nipomo says that. Nipomo's propaganda says that seawater intrusion, or the threat of seawater intrusion, is real. And has a pretty little graphic of our coastline with arrows pointing at your community, my community, and I think that would be. But I know we have seawater intrusion in our community and in San Simeon. It is a dangerous thing. Our basin does not touch your basin. It has nothing to do with the issues in Nipomo. And I'd like my community services district to send a letter to this community services district to stop manipulating the public. These are public dollars that are putting out this material, frightening these residents into supporting a project that they may or may not need. That's up to each individual to make their choice. I don't think I have to convince you that you need a letter or some sort of press release. I've listened to your meetings in the past. I have heard the phrase, we don't have a dog in the fight, and you absolutely do have a dog in the fight. I don't have a dog in the fight. Living in Los Osos, I don't have a dog in the fight, but now I do. So I'd like to see your letter come through, and I think now, because it's been on your agenda numerous times and been continued, now the real question is, why don't you have a draft letter? And Mr. Geisland pointed to the November 30 letter that he signed as part of the NCMA group. It does kind of put egg on your face, and then it begs the question, why isn't he copying you on his work? And you should have seen that letter.
I actually found that letter in a Napomo CSD staff report. So it's very public record, and it's not something hidden in your legal negotiations.
Thank you, John.
President?
Yes.
You know, I actually been thinking about this saltwater intrusion letter, and, you know, I just think we should let it go. I really do. I don't think we should direct staff to write it anymore. Everybody else has written so much about it. You know, the bottom line is, you know, the letter came from this board. It was a form letter. The train left the station. Having staff beat their head against the wall to write a letter that is not going to be relevant isn't going to change anybody's mind. It's just a waste of everybody's time.
I think I've come to the same conclusion, because this did start with this board.
We still have a bunch of public comments.
Public comments.
Mary. Next we have John Schneider.
Mr. Schneider.
Hello, I'm John Schneider from Napomo. I'm also concerned about the misinformation from NCSD. Mike went with District the Board of Supervisors, saying that it was a fact there was seawater intrusion, that it was a legal document, and that seawater had intruded a half mile in, which is more than I've ever heard about. But more importantly, there's a deeper issue here, and that is that the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group is not a public agency, doesn't have a Brown Act, doesn't have a Public Records Act, doesn't have a conflict of interest requirement, and they're not under oath. So it's just a bunch of guys making a settlement, and they can say anything for any reason they want to. And it seems to me they're making political statements, maybe to justify Pismo's state water increased reliability, maybe to get funding, and that's not right. And there's some other things that need to be considered when you talk about seawater. I didn't want to hand you this packet, by the way. It's not talked about the fact that back in the 60s, there was a well just across the street from the well in question, a little bit to the east, that had high chloride, and that kicked off a DWR study that created the monitoring wells, and it was determined that that high chloride was from water coming into the lagoon and back down the top. And I haven't heard about anything from the secret committee that would eliminate that possibility. Secondly, there was an earthquake at San Simeon in 2003. It was well documented that there was a huge amount of shifting sand and elongation, could possibly damage wells. And there seems to be no public investigation of whether there are damaged wells in the area that might also contribute to the problem. And thirdly, on the last page here, it's unbelievable to me that there would be an indication of salt in a well without a proper investigation. And there are three monitoring wells that are quote-unquote lost. One at Grand Avenue, one at Rio Grande Creek, and one at Oso Flaco. That somebody ought to go out, locate, and be monitoring. I mean, it's just incredible, but those aren't being monitored. In particular, the one at Rio Grande Creek has been reported by the guy from the county, Glenn Britton, to me, who used to monitor the wells, that had been roped up by a vehicle on the dunes, and the top had been ripped off. So there's a known open well at the creek. And I think those need to be taken care of, and I think there's no way I can go to the technical committee and report anything because it's a secret committee. I was personally thrown out of the Napomo one by the Sheriff's Department when I tried to stay in it. That this board ought to push for more openness so that there's not this confusion. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you,
Mr.
Chairman.
Is there any other public comment, Mr.
Houston? Yeah, Mr. Eddie.
Good evening, I'm Ed Eby from Napomo. I had a comment about process. I think under the Brown Act that anything that's going to be discussed by a board such as yours, specifically the draft saltwater intrusion letter, needs to be made public record 72 hours before the meeting. I have not seen a draft saltwater intrusion level or saltwater intrusion letter, and I don't know how you can discuss this without having a letter in front of you or in front of the public to talk about. Thank you.
No other comments? I believe I filled out a speaker slip. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Edwards. Initially, I'd like to reiterate my procedural objection to not hearing from staff before the public is asked to present testimony. I object to that strongly. It appears seawater intrusion in Oceano has gone viral. I have at least a dozen examples, including just yesterday at the Board of Supervisors. We heard about that. This seawater intrusion issue, it has to be addressed by your board. I don't care how many letters there are or have been written, you need to set the record straight. Next Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors, they're going to hear the draft county master water plan. This is a document. This is a blueprint for the future of San Luis Obispo County with regards to water resources and communities. This document has 11 pages of seawater intrusion in Oceano. 11 pages. This is going to the board next Tuesday. Is your general manager going to be at the board to refute this information or misinformation? Your 900 acre feet of groundwater is at stake. It is, as I mentioned earlier, your single largest asset. It could be valued, I valued it in excess of $20 million. You don't have much else. In fact, fundamentally, you are a water company. You don't do much else. So if you don't have your water, what do you got? What do your customers have? They have nothing. So it's imperative, next Tuesday is the draft plans being considered, but if you want to put this genie back in the bottle, you need to have somebody testifying at the Board of Supervisors next Tuesday on this matter. It's imperative. And unless you do that, we're going to, 12 examples will turn into 24 examples, which will turn into 48 examples. I mean, it's just it's self-perpetuating. It's just mind-boggling. We've heard the Planning Commission talk about seawater intrusion here. We've got Santa Margarita. Their drought reliability is based on Oceano seawater intrusion. This is North County issues. I mean, this is beyond one's comprehension. John Wayne said it best. Life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. This district, it must be responsible for the water. Thank you.
As a board that does public policy, many of us will be at the Board of Supervisors. As I was saying, it's really unfortunate that this happened in the first place, back in 2009, when a board validated something that was not true. I think we could write letters to her blue in the face. It's not going to change anything. I'll tell you where my mind has gone on it several times. Legal action. Something dramatic to stop it, but I don't even think that would. I don't know where the board was when they signed that letter.
Oh, I know where they were. If you want me to explain something.
They signed that letter. One, it was a form letter that went to all the bodies, right? And two, is it was presented by our contracted engineer. And we're a board of policy. So when your engineer comes to you with a report that says you have intrusion, right? You know, what are you supposed to do? Sit there and call him a liar? I mean, you can't do that. And then there's a letter signed.
and that's how it happened. But it was, it had already been through the system. It was already down in Goleta being discussed by that point. It's part of the bigger picture. And I think that we just need to decide how much more we're going to play, if we're going to play at all, if we're just going to move forward with our agenda and do what we need to do.
Well, I agree. And we have to come to some type of resolution. I'm tired of hearing it, but I don't know what's going to stop it. In my opinion, this is a very ugly baby. I'd like to throw it out with the water. However, they go together.
And I think the concern is that we're talking out of both sides of our face. The county's going to throw back at us. So now you're saying you don't, but before you're
right.
saying you do.
Right.
And I think that's an excellent point.
The
director pointed that out to us. Our GM pointed that out to us. How are we going to write a letter when you sign this one? You know?
Set up.
I think that perhaps we could just start with the basic facts that we got the letter from an engineer. The report turned out not to be factual. The letter was signed. Now, there's been no other findings since then. We believe that there's no longer any, or ever was any saltwater intrusion, and start from there.
That's correct.
And put it out there as an official statement from the board, and then whatever comes after that, we take remedy on that, if there's any that we can take.
It is our official position.
It is our official position, absolutely. And anything that comes after that, we've done our job. So who does the letter go to?
Would be rather than they would do the board of supervisors next week.
There you go.
Yeah.
Attached to their agenda.
Are you going to be at the board of supervisors?
I didn't realize there was one.
Tuesday.
Is it Delaware?
No.
I don't think I'll be able to make it.
Well, if we can pass a letter tonight, right? I'll be happy to read it. You know, and I can't stress the importance of as many people from Oceano show up as possible. You know, and this time maybe we can not put this on the back of staff. Maybe we should be in the forefront of this one.
I'm okay with that.
I
think we keep it sweet and simple. It is our official position that this is not the case.
So Matt, do you have time to pound out the letter or not? And
how do we do this without creating a comment problem? We have it on the agenda, we don't have a draft.
So can I say, I move that we have Matt
I can draft it easily.
Draft the position of the board, and that we agree that what you created there is fine. Because I think we all agree on the same thing. Just don't want to load more onto the staff on policy issues that is a waste of time for them. For us, it's not, but for them, I just think it kind of falls on us.
Take 15 minutes and run it.
Yeah, it won't take me to 10 minutes, 15 minutes, typically.
So bring it right in.
I can put it on, I can email it to Carol Ann, she can put it on letterhead. She can sign it.
So you can do it now. So there wouldn't be
sure.
Meeting.
So do you want to take a 10-minute break and do that?
Yes.
Is the staff recommend, is that okay with staff and legal?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that acceptable?
Is that top of that work?
Yeah, that's fine.
Underground out.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to take really quickly. Thanks.
So we'll
I'm going to take a 10-minute break.
A second.
Well, we also have, hold on a second here. Before we do that, we also have a closed session public employee appointment. We're missing the language here for the closed session.
But we have public comment before we break for closed session.
So, I mean, is it possible for me to have a press have a break during the closed session when I write this, or is that?
Well, they don't want, the public doesn't want to stay for the closed session.
Right.
Right.
Let's do a break first.
Okay, let's do a break. 10-minute break. I'll go ahead and sign.
Should have given it to him in the first place.
Is there a...
And they have...
I can get the hair going.
Oh, yeah. We're fine. We're getting on the internet.
I appreciate your work here.
Sure.
Great tools.
Yeah.
Your report.
He's sure.
He's
just
like,
sure.
I know.
I'm
not
going
to
be able to do it. going.
Even if one of us was so dumb.
Like, I have a whole bunch of music of the famous music.
This is one of the chairs. Did you go in the handy house and land egg because you see? So this is kind of nothing but right here. Just walk land egg and just go on the way. And she'll find the egg. And that's what I'm saying. She's got a lot of.
Well, she gets that little bit of the first wait time. Now they don't say that.
She's never had to do that.
They would clean the street and pour the sand on the south side. They put
put a pile down and then, you know, they ran out of room and then the pile was sort of formed. They buried it, and it was like one guy said, down, and he had like 2 hours. He couldn't dig that much sand to get it out, and it just went under. But I think it's possible to find the rubber. And I don't know why, because I'm not available. We don't pop our mouths out of this. Let me interrupt the state that makes it.
Well, you know, our coastline and Los Angeles coastline is totally different.
The monitoring wells and the.
Make that issue, it will make sense.
But I know who to go to you know, really express what you find out about the mineral writer. So I appreciate you having come in here.
I feel it in my blood.
Where's the possible report yesterday?
Hyphenated salt water, seawater, sea dash water.
To be repeated. It could be plain. I mean, this is.
No, it's a dam. It's a turnout.
I mean, that's.
Other than that, definitely.
But then they went out, they got.
By saying repeated.
Yes, I think so.
You're in.
Put it up.
That was more than.
Is this yours?
All right, why don't we call this meeting back to order?
Where's the duck?
Did you hear it? Should I read it out loud? Okay, but right now the state of the draft is such the County Board of Supervisors read Oceano Community Service District's position regarding seawater intrusion. Please be advised that on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District, the official position of the Oceano Community Services District is that the Oceano groundwater supply is not threatened with seawater intrusion. We are aware that there has been information provided to the public that Oceana's groundwater supply is threatened by seawater intrusion. The board's position is that the incident in 2009 exhibited characteristics of saltwater intrusion, but it has since to be repeated. And it also should be noted that the well in question was in great disrepair. This was corrected by the county maintenance crew, and at no time since has it exhibited any more characteristics of seawater intrusion. At the time that this well was tested, there were significant external contaminants. The board at the time was directed by its contracted engineer to take a position that the event was actually a benefit because it would elevate the priority level in case of any state water contractor allocation cutbacks. The same engineer is on contract with several San Luis Obispo agencies to which this information has been exploited to their benefit. We normally would have accepted this without comment, but the amount of exploitation of this anomaly has reached critical mass and is being quoted from everything from commercial development, other agencies' needs, and willful suspensions of the truth. Sincerely.
Level of exploitation.
Yeah, we got to take out amount.
Level.
Okay, instead of amount. Yes.
Second paragraph, it says, at the time, instead of saying this well, maybe we could say at the time the Century well was tested.
So they don't get confused with any other well.
Okay. So in front of this, or behind this, excuse me, that Century Well was tested.
At the time the Century Well was tested, the board directed its contracted engineer. And can we name our engineer, our contracted engineer, the Wallace Group?
Yes.
I think it's important to put Wallace in there.
Just as a matter of just to say the board's position is that, I would take that out and just say it as a statement of fact to make it a lot stronger. If you're going to write a letter like this, just lay it out.
The board of directors.
Please be advised, just say the Oceanic Groundwater Supply is not part of the water treatment.
It's not, and then later we say the board's position is that the incident exhibited characteristics.
Okay.
Just say the incident exhibited, but it's been all of us.
Actually, I like that.
It's not our position, that's
good. The Oceana,
it is.
So our opening statement is the Oceana Groundwater Supply is not threatened to seawater intrusion.
Yeah.
We'll delete the first two lines and three words from the second line. Short and sweet. As far as signature, should the whole board sign it? How should we? I don't think it really matters.
It doesn't. It's stronger if everybody signs it.
Right. I propose that each person that's here signs it.
Director Angelo.
Someone can sign four or here. Do a signature four.
Four.
Okay. Director Angelo, would that be okay?
Yes.
We can sign on her behalf. Is there any public comment on this?
As one other thing too, is I asked that the general manager be put on this as well, because it's coming from the board that also our general manager is.
I think we're locking step.
Okay.
In an attachment to this too, it'll have the picture of the well in question with contaminants nearby, and then it'll show the new well. And we'll also attach all the running data.
Excellent.
Perfect. Thank you.
So the attachments will be the picture and the running data that we now have showing that that well.
Six packets.
Yes.
Right. So we'll take six packets with us to the board supervisors. Each supervisor gets a packet. One goes to the secretary.
Okay.
We want to edit it to the record, correct, don't we?
And it looks like my seawater intrusion at the very top on the RE, that needs to be seawater is one line.
Is seawater by you?
No.
It's just one word?
It's just one word.
Like for RE, why don't you say seawater intrusion in Oceana instead of the board's position?
Okay.
That stays on my line too.
Seawater intrusion. Okay. We can ask Carol Ann during the closed session maybe to get this on letterhead with everybody's signature.
And I don't know if it makes a difference or not, but I think that that original letter was signed by a board member who had already resigned, and that letter was signed after their resignation.
I see Mr. Edwards before. Do you have public comment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The only comment I would add is that I think the letter should include a list of all the agencies and CSDs and State Department of Water Resources and Central Coast Water Authority and all the folks that have been involved in this in one way or another. So I urge you to include a list of
current.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Well, the problem with that is that would take about a page and a half.
Sure. Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that's one of the most important aspects of this is just get this out. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. So I have I think we need a motion.
If there's no more public comment, I'll make a motion that the board approve this letter with the revisions and the attachments we presented to the board supervisors.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Carol, I have a roll call vote.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
And the next item is item 10, I believe, which is a closed session for the
Actually, we can jump to 12 real quick. That's a well served letter and we recommend approval.
Why don't we do that? Is that gentleman doing that?
No, I'm not sure we're here.
Oh, okay.
I just have one question on the well served letter.
Sure.
I got a little map for that and it's like showing a trailer park or something.
No, it's actually the store that's in the center of the trailer park that already exists, and they're remodeling it. So in order to do the remodel, they have to, even though they've been getting water from us forever, they still have to have the well served letter saying we're going to serve them.
Okay, because on the map, they have it on 21st Street. Isn't that facility on 22nd Street?
No.
It's... I drove there, went there, Dan went there. They got a little store in the middle of the whole RV. It's an RV park.
It's right. Cool. And it's on 22nd Street, not 21st. I was trying to... I knew where the trailer park was, but their map shows it on 21st Street, which would be John Lewis.
I'll double check it.
Okay.
That was a map that they supplied, that their architects supplied. Because it also had the drawings too, right?
Right.
Right.
And I'll make a motion to approve the well served letter.
I'll second.
Why did we not approve it last time? Was it the packet?
It wasn't.
No,
that's the first time we got it.
It's the first time we got it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and we all called for the last time.
I'm checking this.
Now we have more coming in. There are all sorts of problems. But,
yay!
Here's salt water. I seconded it.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. So should we go to closed session?
Should we
call
Lori? Should we go back
there
and call
Lori? Yeah, Lori, we'll call you from the other. We're going to go back to the office
here. Are you
going
to
have
me?
Okay.
All right, we're going to close session.
Public comment.
Okay. Sorry, public comment on closed session.
Right.
Lori, you still on the phone, Lori?
I have five.
Public comment, just
Edwards. I don't know which one I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I submit it's premature to consider the GM contract this evening. Tom's a good guy. I don't think anybody would dispute that. In fact, perhaps he's too nice of a gentleman. But the fact is there's a lot of things that have not been accomplished at this district. And I'll just run over a few things. We just talked about the seawater intrusion letter. The review of John Wallace's contract with this district, I don't believe that's been accomplished. And as your board knows, John Wallace's firm wrote that form letter that's got you in hot water. I think their contract needs to be reviewed. There's strategic planning. There's the question of infrastructure prioritization. None of those things have been accomplished as far as I'm aware. And the whole idea, when Mr. Giesman took the IGM position, One of his main tenets was that he was going to search for a permanent GM, and that simply it hasn't happened. So again, I would request that your board postpone this to a later date. I would encourage Mr. Giesland to prioritize the things that need to be done for your district and for your board. Let's get those accomplished and then revisit his appointment as the permanent GM. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The public comment.
No.
All right. Thank you.
I also agree that it's premature to appoint anyone to the general manager's position. Your interim general manager kind of gave you a bullet list in June when you came aboard. And very simply, through a performance review, you do that with the public. You can go through and see that he's met or not met those accomplishments. The search for a general manager was something that was on that list. And actually, there was a quote from the press saying that he was going to pursue a search for a general manager, a permanent general manager. If he then wants to throw his name in the pool, then that's when you do it. This seems to have gone kind of underground, and it hasn't been on the agenda Belmont as a performance review, and that would be the protocol. So I don't know why anyone protects him. He works for you. It took Mr. Guerrero 10 minutes to write the letter you've been asking for 6 weeks. So that's something that, again, and I think I said this at the time of the item, why wouldn't he write 10 minutes to do what the board asked him to do, what the public's asked him to do? So that's indicative, and it sets the tone. You know, he is a nice man, and he's going along to get along, but that's not why he's here. He's here to represent your board and your community, and each one of you were elected or appointed not to go along to get along, but to bring diversity to you from your community and hash out the issues from your community. I said that. And where I live does not matter, Ms. Hurdle. Where I live does not matter. When you are an advocate for the people, and I see your district's money, and I'm a taxpayer, and it doesn't matter what community my tax money goes to, but to marginalize my experience and my opinion is a disservice to your community. You are all here to listen to the public and represent the public. And whenever, I feel very insulted right now, and I think that was very disrespectful, your gesture. I took my time to come here because I care about your community. Why would I care about your community? Because people get flooded out of their homes with sewage water? That's why I care about your community. I know what's in sewage. I live in Los Osos, and sewage is a big issue for us. So I take...
You want to go ahead?
Yes.
Respond?
I apologize for my indiscretion.
Apology accepted.
Thank you.
We have one more public comment.
Just for the record, as chair of the personnel committee, no employee evaluations or your preferences have gone to the public. There's a personnel issue and it's private.
Karen White, Halcyon. I'm a taxpayer in this district. I've lived my entire life in this district. My grandfather lived in this district. My father lived in this district. And I truly resent people from other areas with specific motivations who come to Oceana and try to push their way around. We've got a good manager. We got an audit. Oh yeah, there's some things he didn't do, but there's a hell of a lot he's done, and I'll stand behind him and hire him now, because he sure was the pick of the litter when you were looking for an interim manager. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
One more, Mr. Rod Everling.
Hi, my name is Rod Everling. I'm from the Pomo. I own land in Oceanoville, so I am one of your customers. I'm not here to tell you how to run your board, unlike the way some people are. I'm not here to be negative. I'll just say this. If you get him permanently, meaning Tom, you're damn lucky. And I wish to God he'd come up and run the board we have in Pomo, because as you well know, he's so screwed up. And I think he's done wonders for the board, because before he got here, you guys were, you know, I don't mean personally, but the board, this place was a mess, and he's done a great job. You'd be lucky to get him, and you'd be better off not listening to other people.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
No, just
fine. All right, we'll adjourn to closed session.